I've been to three rat killings and two county fairs and haven't seen this many people. Lord God. Boy, it's a blessing to be in the house of God. I'd rather be here than anywhere I know. Appreciate the Lord letting us come. Be here today. If ever was a time we need a movement of God, it's the day and hour in which we live. Seen more God, felt more God around here this morning. 95% of the churches I go in. Oh, and what people call worship in our day and time. I've been places and left weeping. And they seem to be happy over it. Oh, my. I'm glad you, when you've been in real worship, you leave wore out. Worshiping is tiring. This body don't like it. There's work to it. It don't come easy. And this flesh don't like it. But real worship, I stay with you during the day. Bring you back to the night service. And then go back with you. I like to go to church, but I like to know when I've been to church. Well, I appreciate the invitation, Brother Ken, to come again this year and be with you. What a blessing it is. We look forward to this meeting every year and to be with the good folks here at Liberty and get to see some old acquaintance. Oh, aren't you glad that one day, after a while, all our goodbyes are going to be over. I just sit around the house sometimes and I get so homesick. I do. Boy, I didn't realize, never thought I'd get to this place in my life. But I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to go home. If I leave out tonight, it wouldn't bother me one bit. I mean that. I get so tired of what's going on. And it's not going to get any better. Don't care what your government says, it's not going to get any better. Don't care what the religious crowd says, it's not going to get any better. But one day, after a while, we're going to say goodbye to all of it. Hello to glory. Them Seventh-day Adventists can have it then, bless God. Amen. You that's going to stay here during the tribulation period, God help you. I ain't going to stay. I'm going to check it out. Amen. Thank you for letting us come. I'll try not to be long. I want to give this preacher over here plenty of time. Anybody bring a Bible in like that? Bless God, he's got a lot to say. Are going to read a whole lot one. I know you get up next. I realize that. That's the reason I know which side the bread's buttered on. Don't you worry, son. Proverbs chapter 30. The book of the Proverbs chapter 30. You find your place. Stand, please. Verse 33. One verse. Surely, that word simply means truly in the Greek and the Hebrew and the English. Just truly. The churning of milk bringeth forth butter, and the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. So the force of wrath bringeth forth strife. Father, help us tonight, and all that's accomplished, we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Three things in this one verse that Solomon has pinned down, we believe to be the writer of Proverbs. Some writers' commentary says he did not write the 30th chapter of this book. But that's neither here nor there. I could care less. It's just the Word of God. But in this 33rd verse, there's three things that's pointed out. We see here he's talking about the brother, and he's talking about the blood, and then he's also talking about bitterness. Here in this passage of Scripture, this one verse, it's relating back, if you relate it back to the previous verses, he's talking about a wise man. Now, any of you that don't believe the Word of God is true, if you'll step forward, I'll show you how that second part works, and you'll say, truly, this is the Word of God. But I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in the first part of that verse, where he says, surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter. I want to preach for a while, if God will help me. Oh, is it butter yet? Is it butter yet? I'm glad, thank God, there's some things in the Word of God, there's some illustration, there's some types that get down on my level. I've homeschooled, learned more at home than I did at the schoolhouse, if that's what I mean by that. Mama was a pretty good teacher, and Daddy was an excellent principal. A lot different is it at the days and the hour in which you and I live today. I'm glad, thank God, for my race and for my heritage, and I can go back and look in the Word of God and see some things and realize that some things that God, you take them and apply them to a spiritual life. I was in camp meeting some 3 years ago, maybe four. An old man of God preached out of this passage of Scripture, and boy, it stuck in my crowd. I mean, I felt something hit me, and I thought, Lord, I know exactly what he's talking about. And I got the reading and the studying down through different times, and I've been wanting to preach on this for a long time. God never wouldn't let me. And I asked him to let me preach on it tonight to bring forth a little illustration to you tonight on how to make butter. Now, I ain't talking about this margarine or stuff that you buy at the store that ain't butter. Ain't no fat in that at all, and if it ain't got no fat in it, ain't worth eating. Say amen right there. I mean, that's what'll keep your cholesterol. I went to the doctor the other day, and he done a physical, done some blood work, and he said, I might near scared to send this off and have it analyzed or whatever they do. And I said, I'm in good health. I'm in good shape. And he sent that blood work off, and he called me back, and he said, preacher, let me tell you something. He said, I've never seen a perfect score before, but said, you're the closest I'd ever seen. I said, that's what that old hog me to do for you, bless God. You keep them valves greased up in there, bless God, it'll help you. I mean, amen. Said, your good's good, your bad's bad. And I said, praise the Lord, don't know what it meant. But if he said it was all right, it's all right. But I'm glad, thank God, some things I've learned down through the years that God has let me be around that's helped me in my spiritual life. I'm glad, thank God, I wasn't raised like a lot of folks, didn't have a lot of things, and I'm glad things will get you in trouble sometimes. I'm gonna have Jesus in anything I know. I'm glad, thank God, that you can have Him and have faith. But when things have you better get rid of them. But in our race, and I was raised a country boy, we had to raise our own meat and vegetables, and about the only time that we ever went to the store was after we sold a bale of cotton or got the crops in. Daddy didn't let us say, take the seed check. I'm getting over y'all's head. I can't help it. Some of us have gotten, some ain't. You know how that is. But take the seed check and go to the county fair. That was our reward. And y'all don't know nothing about it. But anyway, we kill about 8, 10, 12 hogs a year, so we'd have meat to go around. But when you're feeding 13 young ones, you don't weigh no one little pound of bacon out and fall out, bless God. You lay a side of meat out, what you do. Amen. But I'm glad, thank God. And up and down through the years, as I look back on my life, I was always interested in the kitchen, still am. Amen. You didn't get this size bus got out there with bouncing no ball. I got too much invested for Jeannie Craig to get it too, bless God. Amen. Mama showed me how to make biscuits and cook gravy. I'm glad I can do all that. Know what I'm doing. Brother James knows what I'm talking about. I can tell you some stories about me and mine, his cooking, but I ain't got time. I just got a few minutes here. But anyway, I'm glad, thank God, that I've taught some things. And by the way, Mom and Daddy, you ought to teach your youngins some things around the house. Teach them boys how to iron and how to wash clothes, how to do a little cooking, bless God. They might wear a mask, or a woman don't know nothing. Then man might go to town and get them a woman. Bless God, that's right. That's right. But I'm glad I was taught some things that we was learned some things. When you learn some things, bless God, it'll stick with you. But we always had to kind of provide for ourselves, and we didn't get to go to the store and buy meat off the rack and stuff. That's the only thing we ever bought was sugar and a little flour every now and then, cornmeal, if we didn't certain times of the year. But and down through the years that I've seen, read in the Bible and teach some things and apply it to the spiritual realm in life. As I looked across this verse of scripture here, and I seen that churning of the milk. Boy, my mind went back to when we used to sit and churn milk, and that was my job. I don't know how I got stuck with that, but that was my job, to churn milk and make the butter with it. I didn't like it, but I learned a long time ago, ain't no need in complaining about it. Daddy had something out there called a peach tree. It didn't grow peaches, but it raised youngins. And you didn't want him to go out to the peach tree before he come in the house. And you better not complain when you was told to do something. And Mama always picked me out of 7 boys to churn. I mean, I had to sit there. Now, there's 2 types of churns. I don't know if y'all know it or not, but there's a city churn and a country churn. Now, I looked for years for a country churn. I don't know what Mama done with hers, what happened to it. One of the girls probably got it and just put it in some garage sale somewhere. I tried to get something. I know them, bless God, how they are. But trying to get something for nothing, you know, and I'd give it away just about. But I don't know what happened. We used to have an old churn, an old glass churn. But I got to reading about the history of churning milk. And in ancient times, cows were not used for the milk. They milked such as animals and goats. And they would churn that milk. They'd take that milk and put it in a leather bag. And they'd sling that bag backwards and forwards and would separate that milk. And they'd do that until they called it cheese then. And they used it for cooking purposes later. They found out that you could make cheese from milk, but you, oh, and by the way, It has to be completely ruined before you can make cheese with it. If you catch it just right, make butter with it. But I happened along, I asked, pray and asked God to send me a churn, and I happened along and I found a city churn. I don't know if y'all have ever seen one of these. That's the first time I've seen. And a lady graciously let me borrow it. She gave it to me, and the Lord told me I can't keep it because I found out what it's worth. And I don't need nothing like that hanging around me. I'm going to break it's what I'm afraid I'm going to do. But this is a city church. This is a rich folks church. The old country churn was just, it was about a 2 or 2.5 gallon jug, and it had a ring on top of it, and it had a hole right through that ring, and you set the, I'm going somewhere with it. But it takes somebody that knows what they're doing to actually churn milk. In this day and time, there's a half a dozen people sitting here that really knows how to churn milk. When you bring that dasher down, you give her a little turn. There's a reason for that. I'll get to it in just a minute. But I got to looking at this churning of the milk. And God got to speaking to me. Now, your illustrations, your types may be different, but I looked at this old churn as the church. I mean, a lot of things that we ride up and down the road, we see a lot of it. And by the way, you'd be surprised what I've been told that is. Some say, boy, you make liquor out of that, don't you? No. I buy all mine. I do every drop of it. I do. Well, every now and then somebody up the mountain gave me a jug. Some say it's a corn sheller. Oh, ain't no corn sheller. That's a butter churn. And to look at it's been. I can drive down the road, and by the way, not everything's got a steeple on it. It's a church. That's right. It may look like it on the outside, but what really makes the difference is what's on the inside. That churn is a type of the church. That churn can sit there all night. I could come back next year if it was sitting right there. Wouldn't be a bit of buttery. First thing you got to do is pour milk in there. But you can't pour just any kind of milk in there. You got to use clabbered milk. I looked that word clabber up. That's a country word, but it is in the dictionary. It says one step before a word. That's exactly where me and you was at last time until the Holy Ghost. We was one step from being on earth. I mean, we was one step from being in hell till the Holy Ghost came by where we was and introduced us to the Lord Jesus Christ. I was a rough person. I was on my way to the cheese factory, bless God, until he came by one day and decided to make butter out of me. Amen. Mama, take them jugs of milk and set them out. Take them out of the refrigerator and set them out. Dip that cream off the top of it. Bless God. Set that milk out. Tell me if I'm wrong, preacher. And that milk would start separating. There'd be some stuff come to the top of that milk. It'd be called whey. It was just as pretty and clear, but it wasn't worth nothing. That's exactly what me and you were till we got separated from this world and the Holy Ghost. And it never did separate till she was turning out on the porch and it got exposed to the sun. Amen. She knew just exactly how long to set that milk after that old whey come to the top and she'd take and pour that whey off. Now back in the early 1900s, cosmetic people, Procter and Gamble, y'all know them, you ladies do. They come up with some stuff and said that is the perfect stuff to make that Bondo cream that you put on your face. Yeah. And so they started buying that stuff from milk factories and putting it in facial cream for ladies. And then the men got a hold of it. Don't y'all look at me like that. I know what I'm talking about. But then they decided, see, years ago, I mean, we just poured that stuff out. We didn't even feed it to the hogs, bless God. I mean, it just had an odor about it. And that's it. Hey, until God came by where me and you was at and separated us, we wasn't fit for nothing until you still ain't without God. What problem is a man if he gained the whole world but lose his own soul? She set that milk out there, and she pulled that whey off the top of it, and she'd take another milk, that milk that was left, and she'd pour it over in the jug, in the churn. Other day, Brother James, I got to think about this. God flung a craving on me for some buttermilk and cornbread, and a big onion. That's supper right there, boy. And I asked my wife, I said, what do you want for supper? She likes hot dogs. Bless God, you keep feeding them to him, he'll like them too. I said, I want me some cornbread and buttermilk. She can't eat that. No. I went up to the store. I seen that. You can't find good buttermilk no more. I see the jug there that says cultured buttermilk. That's a common sense word right there. That's right. Pure common sense. I said, common sense word. Cultured. You know what cultured means? Cultured means you can take a gob of cafe butter, pour that Golden Eagle sopping syrup over it, mix it just right. Take one of them cat head biscuits and pull it through it without tearing the biscuit into it. That's culture. That's culture. I lost you right there. They ain't got no idea. I lost them. Come on, get back with me here now. But I got to want some of that buttermilk. Boy, I thought, well, that's culture, that's common sense stuff. I said, that's just what I want. I grabbed me a half a gallon, because I didn't have a gallon. So I got me a half a gallon, went back home, made me some cornbread. And I said, I run a good pan of cornbread, pouring that milk over it. I mean, bless God, you can't, that stuff. And I just went ahead and eat it anyway. I didn't want to throw my money away. But the Lord's money, I want to be a good servant, you know. But I thought, Lord, this ain't nothing like what Mama used to make. This is far from the real thing. When she would take that old churn and we sit there and keep the flies off of it and churn that thing upside just up and down. And you didn't do it in no 10 or 15 minutes. You sit there, feel like your arms is going to fall off your shoulders. And she'd say, it'll be worth it after a while, honey. You just remember, he may have you in the churn right now, but it'll be worth it after a while. Pour that milk in there. That milk is a representation of people. See, you didn't get in the church by yourself. You had to be put in. That milk didn't get in there by itself. Somebody had to put it in. Then, she knew just how to do it. She'd go over and get that old sack of salt and pour it out in her hand and take it. And she knew just how much to put in that butter. Land the lake can't do that, honey. I mean, there ain't nothing to compare to it. And She put that salt in there. And she'd, that's just a little grace and mercy that God puts in along my door. Just a little preservative. You know what it really does? It removes the water. That's all it's for. It don't add nothing to the taste. It just removes the water. All a little grace does for me and you, son, is just remove the substance out of our life and the mercy. And then he takes, so we take that ring and set that ring down over that dasher. And that ring was a sealer. And that represents the Holy Ghost. And by the way, you're sealed by the Holy Ghost until the day of redemption. And we sit there and start that churning process. You know what the word churning really means? It means to stir. Stir. You know what the word stir means? It means to put in motion. It do some of you good on Sunday morning to come in and stir up something. Amen. I mean, you think it's the preacher's responsibility or the song leader's responsibility to stir it up. It may be your time to stir and work the churn. A lot of people like to eat the butter, but they don't like to have their hands on the dishes. Amen. I mean, they want that good butter to go on them biscuits, but don't make me sit there and dash up and down like that. That's too much work involved in that. I want to tell you something. Boy, I'd sit there and I'd work that thing up and down like that, and I'd say, Mama, I believe it's about ready. She'd come over here to her one leg and say, they ain't butter yet. And butter it, keep it going, boy. And you just have to keep sitting there and fighting them flies off of you. And, oh, God. I mean, raisins ain't in everything, I'm going to tell you. Amen. I mean, we're just country folks with country ways. Sit down. He's working that churn up and down. But I figured this out. You can have all the ingredients. You can put the right amount of everything in there. But if somebody don't start the churning process, it'll never be butter. It do you good sometime. You know, I never did have a brother or sister walk by and say, get up, let me take your place. Lord God, I can't remember a time where I'm saying, let me churn a while. But if you'll take that and apply it to the spiritual life, he's not always got the dasher in his hand. If you come in and say, preacher, let me see if I can stir up something this morning. You say, well, it ain't my place. Yeah, bless God, it is too. If you know how to churn, you ought to churn up something around the house of God and try to make some money for everybody. Mama had these little wooden bowls. And had a rose or a flower or something down in it. An apple or some kind of little design like that down in it. Now, this is deep. I don't know if y'all have this. You know what they call them? Butter bowls. Mama better not catch you eating out of what I'm... That's right. I mean, all there's use for is she'd take that butter and she'd dip that butter out of there and she'd put it in that bowl and she'd take her hand, pat it down, and then she'd pile a little more, have a little hop in it. Or she'd take that old butcher knife she had and glide it across the top of that bowl. She'd take that bowl and set it in the freezer just for a few minutes. Then she'd take wax paper and lay it out there. Mama would walk over there to get that butter bowl out. And she'd take it over that wax paper and she'd turn it upside down. Boy, there'd fall out that whole cake of butter. That little rose right up on top. But it never did happen till it was butter. Listen, I know what it's like, a churning process. When God's got me and you in the churn, that's not a good place to be. I mean, it's rough down in the churn when God's trying to make something out of you, but he's told you it's time to go through the churn and let it be turned upside down over
and under, every which way, because he's making something out of you. And one of these days, he's going to put you on display.
Is it butter yet? No. No. It's not butter yet. Don't nobody do no churning no more. Ain't nobody trying to stir up nothing no more. Oh, I go hear a lot of stuff being stirred up, but there ain't no milk in there. It ain't separated. The right ingredients is not available. Okay, you can't just make butter out of anything. You pour that thing in there, all of a sudden, see, you stand there and you start turning. Inside, there's an old dasher. Boy, when you get to turning that thing. And by the way, you don't do it fast for a while and slow for a while. You gotta have a rhythm to it. That's what they call indecency and in order. You start the same speed. You stop at the same speed you started at. Just slow and easy. And after a while, it'll look like nothing's happening. You take that old lid off, that old milk still down there, ain't nothing going on. But after a while, you notice something starts foaming around the top here. It starts pushing its way up. Something starts coming out. What are you doing? You're just stirring up something at the house of God. You come in here on Sunday morning. I know some people won't shout unless Aunt Lucy sings her song or Sister Geraldine gets her song here. But I want to tell you something. If you start staring at them, you'll have a shout in you. Is it butter yet? Is it butter yet? Just sit there and churn, churn, and churn. I'd often think, well, maybe she didn't put enough salt in this time. But I did not fool with the ingredients. It do men you good not to fool with the ingredients. God knows exactly what He put in you, what He put in you, and what He put in you. You know what? How much grace He gave you? Just enough to keep you out of hell. Yeah, that's how much He gave you. He knew exactly what He would say. You don't have to go back and get no more. I don't never remember Mama coming by. I say, Mama, I believe it's butter. She come over and she turn her one. It ain't butter yet. Keep a turning. Up and down I'd go. Boy, I'd get so tired. Why do I have to be the only one that ever turns the crank? Why do I have to be the only one? That's what we've said time and time again. Hey, God told you to do that. He's made a churner out of you. He wants you to stir up something in the life of somebody else. You don't have people dying going to hell in my family and your family. We ain't stirring up nothing. Churches is dying. Because they've listened to the world and they quit churning. Quit churning. Boy, and I went to church back years ago. They didn't wait for just anybody to do certain things. I remember they'd be four or five preachers there. I would hear four or five messages before we got to go home. I mean, we stayed for a while. Oh, see, just trying to churn up something. Just trying to stir up something. I know we are. Listen, if God's in it, it won't bother nobody that's right with God. Sit there. I said, Mom, I'm tired. Get one of the other kids to come in here. Why did you pick me? Mama used psychology on me a whole lot. She thought I was dumb, but I wasn't. Smarter than I look, that's God. Like some of you. She said, you don't want. Don't talk back when I ask you to do something. Well, she just knew what more my mind was at, what I was a thing. I hated that stuff. Because you know why? Mama would take them prettiest bowls that had that little flower or that apple on it. Now, I mean, we made butter for everybody in the country, seemed like. Sell it for a quarter a cake. Be about a pound of butter. But Mama would take Mom would take them and two prettiest cakes of butter and a gallon of that good buttermilk. And the preacher got that. Yeah. That's right. The preacher got that. I never did understand that. I didn't understand why she would do that. She was feeding him because he was feeding her. Do I need to preach there for a while? How much long have I got, Doc? No, we'll be here all night. She'd take the bread. You know what we started out eating on? That butter that didn't fit in there just right. That looked like it was cracked. And that's what we eat first. Because when company come, Mama would go get some of that butter out. Had that little design on it. Lord God, I set it out there. We thought we was in hog heaven. I mean, to see something like that. That company sit there and they just brag on that butter and say, "Miss Clemens, you make the best butter that I believe I've ever put in my mouth." I sat there and bite my tongue off there. "Miss Clemens did not do that. Bless God. I'm the one that stirred that up. I'm the one that got her going. So you sit there and eat like a hog, bless God. Hey, it ain't butter yet till you take your turn at the churn and try to stir up something. Try to put something in motion, brother mine. But we're afraid. We're afraid of what our neighbor and our family is going to think about us." Just trying to stir up a little something. After a while, it started oozing out the top. And turning sometimes gets hard to do. Well, when it gets to being butter, that crank will get harder to turn and harder to turn. But after a while, I said, "Mama, I think it's butter. I think it's ready. Come and see what you think." She'd walk over and take that old dasher and pull it up to the top and let go of it. Brother, if that dasher didn't fall, it was butter. That's right. That dasher stood up there. You take the lid off of her, bless God. You done stirred her long enough. Something's fixing to happen. I'm going to take the butter out and make some butter molds here. Put them in the bowl. Hey, if you stir long enough, after a while, you take butter and feed everybody butter. But God help us. We've eaten margarine so long, and we don't even know what butter really tastes like. They took her. They say it years ago. You can't eat all that, can you? You can tell it's not butter. You know why you can't tell it's not butter? You ain't never had no butter. You never had no butter. Boy, have you ever had a gob of that cow say butter? And by the way, you know how you can tell the color of real butter? By what kind of grass the cow eats. Amen. If you think there ain't a God, and God ain't in control, you tell me how a black cow can eat green grass, give white milk, and make yellow butter. That's God. And if she eats bitter weeds, you can't eat the butter. If she eats bitter weeds, you can't eat the butter. You can't even drink the milk. You will know that you strain it all you want to. But if that old cow ever got in them bitter weeds or in them green onions down there, bless God, you can't. I can eat onions with buttermilk. I can eat onions with sweet milk. But I can't drink sweet milk or the cow eats the onions. Amen. But some of you could. And this stuff you get called sweet milk, that ain't the real thing either, honey. It has been watered down. It has been watered down so much. I mean, first thing they do, my brother worked at a creamery there in Huntsville, Alabama, for 44 years. And the first thing they do is separated the milk from the butter fat. Yeah. Yeah. They say you can't have that fat meat. When you get 60-year-old, you'll know what I'm talking about. You ain't got no idea right now. I'll explain it to you the best way I can, but a little fat meat will help you along. Easiest meat you'll ever chew. And swallow too. But they'll take that milk and they'll bring it in there and they put it in this big tank and they start heating that milk up to 180 degree temperature and it brings it to a boil and they're separating the fat. When they separate the fat, they start adding the water to it to force the fat out of it. In other words, you got watered down stuff. I don't want nothing watered down, bless God. I mean, give me the milk of that word right there. I don't want milk all the time, but every now and then I like just a good glass of cold milk. Yeah. 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 But when you take that milk, and some of them, that old gallon jug would be about nearly half full of cream and them old cows. See, I didn't know you didn't have to do this when we went to school. But when we was raised, we had to shake the milk up before we drank it. You could tell them old country boys in school, they get that little carton of milk and you say something worth shaking it. Ain't a bit of cream in it. I still do it. I mean, just something about habit, I guess. I mean, just so I shake it, you know. Ain't no need to it. I say, look, ain't nothing that's going to help you or hurt you either one. That's because you can drink 5 gallons of it, and tomorrow you drink 5 more gallons. Ain't nothing. Ain't nothing. I say it's good for your bones. That ain't. But the real stuff is. You go down the road down here. Just because he preaches against it. You run down the road here, they'll tell you all right. You'll find somewhere they'll tell you it's all right for you to do that. You don't have to live that way. No, you don't. But if you want God, you do. I'm glad, thank God, that every now and then, listen to me, I told you a while ago, boy, it's rough being in the church. Preacher, I've been about a year now. It's rough. Think about what you went through. And I feel like I'm coming right behind you. It's rough. Churn process is rough. Well, I don't know. Sometimes I say, Lord, you'll just open the lid and let me jump out. I'm tired. I'm being turned around and around over and over. But you know what my biggest problem is? I look at that heater down the road down yonder. That's living like hell. Gets in the pulpit every Sunday. Wears new clothes, drives new cars. Always got the finest. Got the crowd following him. That's my problem. I'm looking at him instead of looking at him.
Amen. But when you're in that churning process, it's rough. These people, I don't understand why God chooses a folks to go through the churning process up until the other day. I was sitting over yonder in the schoolhouse, and I was thinking about this churning process, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost just whispered in my ear and said, he's a making butter out of you, boy. Amen. One of these days, he's going to put me in the bowl and press me out. If you'll read Ephesians 2:1-10, he's going to take us from the trash pile to a trophy case. Put us on display. He's going to make something out of us. Some of you, if we just knew the hearts of people here, you don't know what that one going through is going through sitting next to you. Boy, there's one thing I've already always said, and I try to practice this. I never want nobody to know when I'm discouraged. I don't like for people to know that. No, I don't like for them to know when I'm having a hard time. No, I don't like to let that be known. Why? Because the devil, he glories in that. Yeah, he glories in that. If he can get you discouraged, you're one step away from being defeated. Yeah. But then I get to thinking, well, the old churning process, it's rough. Nobody wants to go through it. But everybody wants a little butter. Everybody wants a little butter. My daddy, I'm about through, preacher. My daddy was a little man. Weighed 146 pounds, most of him weighed in his life. And all of my mama's people's big. And I reckon I took after their side. But daddy had to have biscuits. Had to have biscuits every time we went to the table. He eat one biscuit every meal. They say, I need one biscuit. But he'd take that biscuit and he put butter on it. Always wanted butter. Take that biscuit and put that butter on it. Find some kind of syrup, molasses, or jelly. I was sitting thinking the other day, the best of my knowledge, the best of my remembrance, I never remember my daddy eating a piece of cake, a piece of pie, of any kind. Eat a biscuit, jelly, biscuit, syrup. But he wanted butter on it. It just ain't good without a little butter on it. But there had to be a price paid. There had to be a labor took place for it to be butter. Somebody had to sacrifice in order for you to have butter. You don't get butter out of a creek. Oh, it's a process to it. Is it butter yet? It's according to how much you stirred. If you stirred long enough, it's butter. Peter said, 2 Peter 1:13, he said, I need to stir up some things in your mind to bring you back to remembrance. In so many words, that's what he's saying. You need to remember where God brought you from. The promises he's made you and where he's taking you to. But you got to go through the process before it's butter. Is it butter yet? It's according to how much you've churned. You churned any today? You stirred up anything today? I'm talking about for the glory of God. I'm talking about for having the real, real thing. Preacher, you come close out. I'm through.